It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
There you go, homeboy. Did you see what just happened?
Yeah, good job, man. I'm proud of you.
Now, you don't need to be proud of me. Look, I mean,
don't come back to me on Monday morning and be like, "Wow, that was the downfall, Tyler." Like, you know, you just opened up the gates. I ran through it, and there's no going back. I don't want to be hearing any of that because there's people on the text line that are complaining that I'm this terrible human being for trying to get you to eat a donut. All right, so don't make me that guy. Don't prove them right.
Hey, if you're Tony and I'm Christopher, it's not going to end well.
I don't want you on heroin.
Yeah, but Tony actually did want Christopher on heroin.
No, but I don't really want you.
Really? Of course I ate it. Of course, I mean, duh. It's not, that was the problem. That wasn't the solution. It takes a certain amount of discipline to do all that crap.
Without a doubt.
And, to relate it to, the Broncos and what they have going on. I'm not exactly sure. I think it's the magic sauce to in a league where everything is so equal, what seriously does make one team better than another? I don't know. It's probably why most NFL games are so close.
Well, there's no easy answer to that.
No, there's not.
If there was an answer to it, there would be a formula. And there's no such thing as a formula to success. There's really not. You want to be a great head coach? You got to adapt each and every year, and your formula has to change based off the personnel that you have. You got to know when to push these guys. You got to know if you have a soft team, if you got to treat them a little bit more rough. You got to know if you've got a tough team that you've got to be able to treat them like they're the veterans and give them the respect that they deserve. You got to know if your quarterback's athletic. There's just not a formula to success. It's all about reading human beings and knowing how to push them to their maximum potential.
D-Mac, what's your number? I want to reach out to you. You've been a huge influence on me.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. 719-229-8152. 719-229-8152. Hit me up. I'm Palumbis Speak. Here you go. Tyler, which quarterback will benefit more in training camp from Courtland Sutton coming back as a full participant?
Huh? Mount Palumbis.
I have to pick one because I guess I can't. They're both going to benefit from Courtland Sutton. I guess I understand the theory behind the question. Does Drew Locke have more chemistry with Courtland Sutton than he does with Jerry Jeudy? Does Jerry Jeudy have more chemistry with Teddy Bridgewater than he does with Drew Locke? Okay, I get the theory behind the question, but I truly believe that both quarterbacks are going to benefit from it. Who gets the reps with them? That's the answer. Which one of them is getting the reps?
All right, what does Courtland Sutton do best as a receiver?
I mean, stereotypically, you would say he's a jump ball guy.
Right.
But that's not who he is. He's so much more than that. He's a very well-rounded wide receiver. He doesn't have the breakaway type of speed that Jerry Jeudy has, nor does he create the type of separation that Jerry Jeudy can create. But his best skill set is his reliability. And you know that if you put the ball within a 3-yard radius of Courtland Sutton, guess what? He's probably going
to
catch it.
See, to me, that would seem to benefit Bridgewater more than Locke.
Why? How?
Because Bridgewater throws floaters.
So if Drew Locke throws a ball within a 3-yard radius of Courtland Sutton, he's not going to catch it?
I think it's just going to get there a little bit quicker. It's a little bit harder to react to. I think you've got more time on a Teddy Bridgewater throw to adjust and perhaps take a ball away from
him. But didn't Drew Locke have great chemistry with Courtland Sutton last year? I mean, didn't he look at him as his number one wide receiver?
Well, reasonably so. I mean, Courtland Sutton was the best receiver they had.
I know. So why would that change?
I don't know if that would change, but I'd say who would benefit more. And I just think, Teddy Bridgewater, who doesn't have as strong of an arm for Locke, would be more comfortable or would benefit more from just being able to put the ball up. We did see
I guess if you had to pick one guy that benefits more from having a big-bodied guy, okay, sure. But when you've got a guy that is as talented as Courtland Sutton, it doesn't matter who's throwing him the football. He's going to make anybody look good.
You know who would really benefit from Courtland Sutton? Aaron Rodgers.
Ah, right. I should have seen that coming. I'm sorry. I felt like you were waiting for me to say it with you, and I just let you down on that.
No. It's funny about questions like that. Every answer is Aaron Rodgers. Like, what would build better team chemistry?
Well, Aaron Rodgers would be a very grumpy dude that would teach other guys to be grumpy, but he'd be good at football.
You think he's a grumpy guy? Or do you think you think he's a grumpy guy?
Wait, what? Didn't you say the same thing?
How is Cutler?
Cutler was DGAF.
I know what that means.
Yeah.
But we definitely can't say that on the air.
Right. But that's who he was, and there's a difference, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Wow, there was a report. Did you see? I don't know if you caught it on, it was on ESPN yesterday. There was an unnamed general manager that said Rodgers' teammates don't like him. That he's just a difficult guy to be around, and in general, they didn't like him.
Well, there have been those reports for years, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, well beyond any of this current drama that is going on with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. We've had reports of former teammates for the last 5-6 years that would leave and say that they just didn't relate with Aaron.
Clearly.
Did that affect things, though?
No. Jay Cutler wasn't popular amongst all of his teammates. Tebow had a very quirky relationship with his teammates. How was Peyton? Was Peyton well-liked amongst his teammates?
Of course. Okay. Yes. I mean, you weren't necessarily buddy-buddy. You weren't hanging out at the lunch table with Peyton Manning. He wasn't even really eating at the lunch table at the same time as anybody else. Like, he had his own little routine.
Is that right?
And, yeah.
He wouldn't eat lunch with everybody else?
No, I mean, because he'd be in the film room.
Oh, okay.
He would get his lunch, and he would go right back to work. So he wasn't really hanging out with the fellas.
How much socialization was there with Peyton Manning? How much did that even matter?
Every Thursday, he would take you out. So during the day, there was not much socialization at all.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with my offensive line peers or really just pick a group of guys, I had a group that, you know, practice would end and we'd tell the wives, hey, I had to stay a little bit longer, you know, had an extra meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Coach was mad at us today, right? But we'd stick around, we'd play some cards or we'd do whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was a group of guys that you would maybe go grab a cold pop with. That's not necessarily who Peyton was. You weren't doing that during the workday. You weren't playing Madden or playing ping pong during the workday with Peyton Manning. But he actually made an emphasis to make sure that although he was not really a part of the workday socialization, he was going to make sure that every Thursday night he was taking you out to a nice dinner and that you were going to be a part of that, right?
Mm-hmm. There's some blowback, man, from... See, I told you, this field day thing, it's not just about the field day. It is... I'm seeing it. It's about who the team is, the culture of the team, where they're going, and they're using field day as kind of a launching point. But it's not about that.
It is Friday, right?
And
on Friday, it's a no offense Friday.
It is a no offense Friday.
Honestly, D-Mac, no offense. These are people that don't understand how to build a team.
Wow.
These are people that don't understand that there has to be reward with hard work.
Okay. Well, we'll have Spilly on.
There's people that don't understand that it was supposed to be a walkthrough, not a real practice, not 11-on-11 football, a walkthrough.
Well, when we come back, I'll read this text to you so you can respond to it, but it goes along those lines next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
With us in about a half hour. The Rockies have been on a roll, which is crazy, but true. Can they equal or eclipse their longest win streak of the year tonight against the Brew Crew? They have won 4 in a row. That they did that actually relatively recently. Trying for 5 in a row tonight at Coors Field. We shall see. Ryan Spielberg's in just a little bit. All right, here's talking a lot about the culture of the team and perhaps that was more of the emotional outpouring about field day, not really field day, but just like who the team is, what it takes to win, what it doesn't take to win. You know, one of the criticisms of, well, what do you think? This is going to impact the season. Well, no, of course not, because no one single practice or event at any time, one, has that kind of impact. But here's an interesting text here, Tyler, just to show you where some of this anger's coming from or sure. doubts are coming from. I feel like the culture of the Broncos right now is, quote, it'll be all right. We'll get it done tomorrow. Fair or not fair?
Why? I mean, why is that fair? You tell me.
Well, I didn't send it in, but I can try to make the Broncos don't want to do the hard. I'm interpreting what he's saying now. I'm trying. The Broncos don't want to do the hard things. They're looking for a safe way to operate, and they just don't take all that many chances. They're too conservative. We'll get it done tomorrow. It's not that big of a deal. Nothing's that big of a deal.
Hey, man, I got a lot of issues with the Broncos, and I got a lot of issues with the way that things are operated. I've certainly got an opinion on the offense. I've got an opinion on a lot of things. And you all know, if you listen to this show, that it's not all sunshine and roses around here. But one thing I am not questioning the Denver Broncos on is work ethic. That is not a concern to me. These guys put in the effort. They show up to work. Vic Fangio, I promise you, he's coming into work at the butt crack of dawn, and he's leaving, you know, when it's dark out. And there's no doubt in my mind that all of these guys, now maybe Drew Locke had to learn that a little bit, and he's admitted it, that, you know, this has been a little bit of an evolution for him. He is working differently right now than he was previously. But work ethic, that's not what I want to go after them for. You know, I think you can, you know, I'll use a Rockies analogy, a situation that popped up on our show. I called the Rockies, what did I say? I said that they are an entirely uncompetitive baseball team. And that kind of got you up in a tizzy a little bit because you're like, well, hold on. By you saying they're not competitive, they're out there trying. And I'm sitting here saying, yeah, I know. I didn't say that they weren't trying hard. I didn't say that they're not good guys. I didn't say they're not putting effort in. I said that they're not competitive. That's what I said. And so Denver Broncos, They're doing a lot of things that have been questionable. They made some decisions that are questionable. I would have drafted Justin Fields. I would have. But am I accusing them of not putting in the hours? I mean, have we seen the videos of George Payton? We know when that guy shows up to work. Really? Is work ethic the one that we're going to go after these guys for?
Another one. They need to practice. They're not good. They can be as happy as they want or as sad as they want while they do it. Talking to you, Tyler. Your inability to separate these issues is frustrating. I'm not saying, Tyler, they have to be miserable. I'm saying, Tyler, they have to practice.
Yeah, you know what's frustrating? People that do not listen and that do not understand that there was not going to be a practice, no matter what. They were not allowed. They legally were not allowed to have a practice yesterday. They weren't. By the CBA, they had to have a walkthrough. So what's frustrating is people that think that a walkthrough is the same thing as practice. It's not. It's not even close to a practice. It's a walkthrough. You go out there and you go against offensive players, not defensive players. You don't even have a scout team. You're going up against your own guys in a walkthrough pace. So if you think that they missed practice, you're wrong. They were not allowed to practice yesterday.
You're right, D-Mac. Wide receivers do have more time to adjust to Teddy's passes, but so do the cornerbacks on the opponent's defense. We actually did see that on Wednesday on a corner throw pretty deep throw to the corner of the end zone. And the ball did hang up there. And what happened was the corner, and I forget who the corner was, he just had time to sort of mess up what on the surface looked to be what was going to be a touchdown throw. Now, on that particular play, though, and I forget who the receiver was, too, but on that particular play, it was definitely one of those where you could imagine Cortland Sutton just rising up and snatching the ball away.
He's taking it.
Yep, and in this particular play, the receiver, I'm sorry, I forget who it was, but it wasn't a guy like Cortland Sutton, and he just kind of got caught up in the wash. The cornerback closed the distance and, you know, I think it was Darby that broke up the play. Pretty good play. That's where you really benefit from Cortland Sutton, where the average, just maybe slightly above receiver, can't do something as the above average guy that has that skill set of Cortland Sutton. And I understand Sutton can do all sorts of things, But one thing in particular he can do is sort of take a 50-50 ball, which this definitely was, and put it in your favor, a card in your favor. I mean, that is the Randy Moss factor. Cortland Sutton can do that.
Yep.
Those type of guys.
Yeah. And I guess I would just say that both quarterbacks are going to benefit from that. So, you know, whether Teddy Bridgewater is out there or Drew Lock is going to be out there, they're both going to have throws where they need it to be 50-50, and they need to trust that Cortland's going to come down with it.
What hit me on that particular play, and I did see it a little bit out of Teddy, that's not a good position for Teddy to put the ball in. He knows it. So most likely in those situations, Tyler, I'd say Teddy Bridgewater is going to, if he's going to miss, he's going to miss deep, not short. He knows that about himself. Okay, fine. You're less likely to make a mistake, but you're also perhaps less likely to give your receiver a chance at the ball. That could be true, too. Whereas Drew doesn't, seemingly Drew doesn't care about that. And he's more likely to just, you know, zip that ball in the best that he can.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, that can lead to other disastrous situations as well. The one play that really stood out with Teddy Bridgewater this whole time in the spring was that deep floater to Jerry Jeudy that we all thought was an overthrow, that Jeudy did shift it into second gear and made a pretty spectacular catch and play, to the degree where if you saw a highlight, you'd say, oh, he was wide open. And I guess that was one of those that I guess you had to be there to see how even Steven it was until Jeudy, you know, created that separation when he needed to.
He hit that nitrous.
He hit that nitrous, man. It was cool. Yeah, somebody reached out and said, yo, you're all so critical. You're all so critical. This, can I say enough good words about Jerry Jeudy from the time? I'm trying to say as many good things about this dude as I possibly can. To me, Jerry Jeudy was the star of this time. I couldn't be more blown away or impressed with Jerry Jeudy.
Well, there were a handful of guys that stood out during the offseason. I know that Javonte Williams stood out in a very positive light. You know, this is a weird offseason in which, number one, we weren't allowed to see every practice. And number two, when we were out there, of course, the majority of the attention was going to be paid to the quarterbacks because that's the biggest battle and that's the most important battle. I feel like there's a lot that got lost just in translation this year of what really happened out there. I don't have a great vibe of how Von Miller looked. I don't. I don't have a great vibe on, you know, the defensive back situation. I know the Pat Surtain looked great. I don't have a great vibe on really the right tackle situation either. Bobby Massey wasn't really out there playing.
Right tackles, no doubt an issue.
It's probably going to be an issue if Bobby Massey is not healthy, but I'm telling you, if Bobby Massey's healthy, it's not an issue.
I hope not. I hope you're right. Vaughn, by the way, just real quick on Vaughn. I know what you're saying. Just on the surface, he looks fantastic.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he looks like Von Miller.
He does. We'll see. I mean, he looked great at this time last year, too. I mean,
he did. He looks terrorizing people.
He looks like Von Miller. Von Miller looks like Von Miller, which I guess is good news. One more quick one. Tyler, is there nothing to be learned from a walkthrough? If that's the case, why do you ever have a walkthrough during the season? Please explain.
Of course there's stuff to be learned from a walkthrough. Not the point. And if you think that that's the point, I guess you're just looking for any reason to be mad. Of course, there is plenty to be learned. I learned better in a walkthrough scenario than I've learned sitting in the classroom. I didn't learn very well staring at a coach, drawing up X's and O's on the whiteboard. I needed to get out there and I needed to physically walk through it. And that's how my memory bank got built. That's how it operated for me. But the point is that if you're going to pick a day that meant the least to your team, and you are going to reward somebody, take away a work day and reward them. Well, you rewarded them on the half day, the day that you were already sending them home early. You're rewarding them on the day that you already knew that the TPS reports were finished. And on Friday, you were going to go to cocktail hour early, right? So you picked that day to reward them, the least important of the days. Can you learn? Absolutely. Yes, of course you can. I learned a lot in walkthroughs.
You know it's going to happen now, too, for the rest of the year.
What's that?
If things go poorly, those who are anti-field day will continually bring up stupid field day.
D-Mac, if anybody's actually doing that, no offense, those people are just idiotic.
You could just say hi, James, if you wanted to next time. top six featuring a really, really cool addition to the All-Star Game hosted here in Colorado. Details next.